Monday, July 13th, and time to do something I have long planned. A walk around the White House grounds with Mr. Williams, the gardener, taking the White House guidebook in my hand and learning from him and the map in the guidebook the trees that were planted by different presidents. Records are a bit dim before 1900, but we do know that it was Thomas Jefferson who had the two large mounds constructed, one on the east side, one on the west side, because he liked to walk in the grounds and he liked the privacy that they afforded. And we know that the majestic American elm planted on top of the east mound was planted by John Quincy Adams. It's the oldest authenticated tree on the grounds. Andrew Jackson's Magnolia grandiflora, brought from the Hermitage, are probably the most famous trees. Grover Cleveland, that enormous man, amazingly enough, had planted two delicate dwarf Japanese maples down by the fountain. Calvin Coolidge, with great taste, had chosen the white birch so familiar to his Vermont. Franklin Roosevelt has two little leaf lindens, still quite small, so short is history. And President Eisenhower has at least five trees that had already been pointed out to me. The gardener said there were others also. We talked about what linden will plant. I want very much for it to be something typical of Texas, but the live oak won't grow here, nor will the Texas pecan. I want a long-lived, wind-firm, disease-resistant, majestic tree for the ages, which is pretty doggone limited when you get to Central Texas. We might plant a black walnut or a willow oak. This morning was one of the nicest I've spent. Then in the afternoon, I saw the Westinghouse film on the paintings in the White House, which was introduced by me, and was relatively pleased with my appearance and voice and script in this 30-minute showing of many of the pictures that make up the collection here, beginning with the large portrait of George Washington, which was here in Dolly Madison's day, and going through the great enrichment of Mrs. Kennedy's 3 years. In the late afternoon, I had a drink on the Truman balcony, which is rapidly becoming my favorite spot, with Liz and Bess, and we talked about possible upcoming parties, the one for the secretaries tomorrow, for Linda in August, a salute to the Congress when it closes, and the three upcoming state visits. Lyndon was very late coming home. I phoned the office and found that he was sitting in his small room with O'Donnell, Valenti, McGuire, Cliff, Walter, at least eight of the chief political cogs in the machine.